A time of extremes. There are layers of change in the emerging world that surrounds us. We no longer live in the isolated countries that form the foundation of our policies and thinking during the 20th century. We no longer live in nations with isolated economies, isolated technologies, isolated energy grids, and isolated defense and communication systems. These facts have led to the certainty of where we find ourselves right now in this very moment. We're living with a new set of rules for our lives, our careers, and the big picture of the world. The way we think about money and financial security now isn't the same way our parents or their parents thought about money and financial security in their lives. The way we thought of careers in the past, in terms of company loyalty and local jobs, is giving way to a less loyal and more global view. The role that religion and spirituality has played in our lives is taking on new meaning as we try to apply 2,500-year-old principles and ideas to 21st century crises. Our ideas of medicine, disease, and healing are converging into a new, holistic model of wellness for us and our families. The very principles that have helped us feel secure in our communities and homes are changing. It's facts like these that lead us to one of the most crucial, yet least understood realizations of our era. We're living a time of many extremes, and they're all happening at once. The best minds of our time are in agreement that you and I are living a radical shift in the world and our lives that's unlike any other in recorded history. So precisely what are we facing today that no generation before us has had to face? While answering this question could fill the pages of an entire book, and other authors have done a beautiful job of doing just that, to do so is not the reason I'm making this point. Rather, it's to provide the background for why we now need to think differently. So it's with these ideas in mind that the following summarizes the climate, population, energy, and economic conditions that make now so very different from times past. Climate extremes. It's not just our imagination. It's not just the emphatic warnings of overzealous environmentalists that tell us we're in a time of climate extremes. It's not just the elders of the world's indigenous communities sharing the wisdom and warnings of their ancestors regarding our era. It's the data itself that tells the story. And the data tells us that we're living a rare era of cyclic change that very few humans in the past have ever experienced. Since the mid-1990s, our global family has met with the crises and risen to the aftermath of a growing number of weather-related extremes, from record-setting floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and temperatures to killer superstorms that have had consequences unparalleled in recorded history. It's a fact that we've already crossed vital ecological thresholds that are necessary for Earth's survival, such as too high levels of carbon dioxide and the dangerous level of species extinction. It's a fact that there's been a 2.5-fold increase in the number of devastating floods worldwide that occurred between February and May 2010 as compared to the numbers of floods during the same time of year between 2002 and 2006. It's a fact that there's been an increase in the number of North Atlantic tropical storms that the National Weather Service documented between 1998 and 2007, a trend that continues to the present day. It's a fact that there's been a dramatic surge in the number of wildfires worldwide since 1998, a pattern that also continues today in North America and throughout much of Australia and Europe. While it's certainly not unusual for weather-related disasters to occur, it is unusual for there to be so many of them occurring in so many places in the world all at the same time. Quote, "Each year we have extreme weather," says Omar Badur, the chief of the Data Management Applications Division at the World Meteorological Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. "But it's unusual to have so many extreme events around the world at once," end of quote, he explains. Even while Badur was alerting us that global weather for the winter of 2012 would go beyond business as usual, a bizarre series of storms were wreaking havoc across the globe. These included massive floods in the United Kingdom, extensive wildfires in Australia, and an epic storm of both rain and snow that threatened the lives of 160,000 Syrian refugees living in temporary camps set up in makeshift shelters in Lebanon. Even before the winter months arrived, it was already clear that 2012 would be a year for the record books. By year's end, the extremes had left a legacy that included the world's ninth warmest record since the year 1850. It included record low rainfall in the United States and the most severe and extensive drought in at least 25 years. It included record high temperatures in the United States with 197 all-time highs, either tied or broken, and it included Superstorm Sandy, which brought a record 32.5-foot high wave to New York Harbor. A study published in the Journal of Climatic Change tells us, without reservation, that extremes such as these are more than just local anomalies. They're happening on a worldwide basis, although the world simply isn't prepared for how quickly the climate is changing. According to the lead author of the report, Dim Kumau, quote, "The last decade brought unprecedented heat waves in the U.S., in 2012, in Russia in 2010, in Australia in 2009, and in Europe in 2003, end of quote. Kumau summarizes the impact of such extremes in one sentence, stating, quote, "Heat extremes are causing many deaths, major forest fires, and harvest losses. Societies and ecosystems are not adapted to ever new record-breaking temperatures," end of quote. But while the decades-old controversy over the existence and the causes of climate extremes appears to be far from resolved, the data of the Earth itself reveals the facts. And it is a fact that the history of our world is one of dynamic change in climate and weather patterns. It's also a fact that patterns of the past suggest that we should be in a cycle that includes a warming of the oceans and the atmosphere today. Ice core data, such as the 1999 Vostok cores from Antarctica, for example, clearly show Earth cycles of warming and cooling as they've unfolded over the last 420,000 years. When we see the history of the Earth itself, we begin to see a story of cyclic and dynamic change, as well as where we are within the change. The data indicates that we're now at a place in the climate cycles where it's reasonable to expect a brief and general warming of the planet. The question is, how much warming should we expect and how long will it last? Well, new studies that zero in for a closer look at hundreds of years of Earth's history rather than the big picture of thousands of years now give us a clearer picture of precisely what the warming has looked like in the past over these smaller periods of time. The revised indicators for the last 2,000 years, for example, show that the temperatures during a time called the Medieval Warming Period, or MWP, between 820 in the Common Era and 1040 in the Common Era, were nearly four times greater than the temperatures we're experiencing today. Another warming episode in the late 1200s showed temperatures twice as high as they are today. The data suggests that the extremes were focused and they were brief, rather than marking a trend that would continue over a long period of time into the future. So while the variations seen in the past are measured in fractions of a degree Celsius, I'm sharing them here to offer a rounded perspective of climate change and what it's meant in the past. It's interesting to note that these temperature changes occurred without the factors that are commonly believed to be the cause for such extremes today, such as industrial sources of CO2. The question that we must ask ourselves is why? If the carbon dioxide was not the trigger for the temperature increases in the past, then what was? And what does it mean for us today? These are questions that we must answer honestly if we're really serious about addressing climate change in a meaningful way. We owe it to ourselves and our children to share what we find in a truthful and a factual way. This is a perfect example of where science can only serve us to the degree that we are honest about the science. If, as the data suggests, we are experiencing the new normal of a changing climate, and all of the effects that come with such a normal, including warmer temperatures and supercharged storms, then it makes perfect sense for us to adapt to the change instead of waiting for conditions to return to the normal of the past, the way they used to be. It makes sense to adapt the way we live, to adapt the way we grow our food and build our homes, and to rethink the choices we've made that leave us vulnerable to the extremes that we're facing. It also makes perfect sense to re-examine our ideas of resilience and the role it plays as we adapt to rather than recover from our climate extremes.